Today's reading is from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. The first part is titled Closing Appeal for Steadfast in Unity, and the second part is titled Final Exhortations. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy, my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women, since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord.
I have a question for you. I wonder if anybody will be able to answer it. Which sock did you put on first this morning? Was it your left sock or your right sock? Do people know this? Put your hand if you put your right sock, or maybe you didn't put socks on. Right, left? Do you always do the same one first? And do you put both your socks on at once, or are you a sock-shoe kind of person? Socks, then shoes? This is more controversial than I thought it might be. I guess that many of you don't remember. I don't have a clue which shoe I put on first this morning. I don't have socks on because I'm wearing sandals. But at some point this morning, you made a choice about which sock or which shoe to put on first. You probably didn't think about it particularly carefully. Even if you do know which sock or shoe you put on, you probably just did it without really thinking. Already, before you came to church this morning, you have made many choices. You decided what to wear, another choice about what to have for breakfast, what route to take to get to church, which seat to sit in. We make thousands of choices every single day. Some of those choices are deliberate, and others we don't even notice we're making. When I mentioned breakfast this morning, some of you, naughty people, might have immediately thought, well, I didn't have breakfast this morning. But even that is a choice. Many of the choices that we make don't really matter. It probably doesn't really matter which sock or shoe you put on first. But many of our choices do have consequences. One biscuit isn't going to make a difference to the way our clothes fit. And really, unfortunately, one healthy meal isn't going to drastically change how our clothes fit either. More's the pity. But repeated choices shape us for good or for bad. And if that's true for us physically, then what about spiritually? What are the choices we make, often without thinking, that are shaping the people that we are becoming? For Christians, the most important decision we will ever make is to be to give our lives to God. But that is a once-in-a-lifetime decision, but it's lived out in thousands of smaller choices. Becoming more like Jesus is something that God works out in us daily as we choose how we think, how we speak, and how we act. And of course, we don't live as Christians in a vacuum. There are many other factors that influence us: the things we watch, the ways we spend our time, and the people that we spend our time with. The question isn't whether we are being shaped or not, it's what we're allowing to shape us. So perhaps we need some kind of spiritual health check, asking questions like, what voices do I listen to, and how do they impact what I believe about myself? Where do I turn when life gets difficult? Do I seek to solve problems in my own strength, or do I trust God? Where will I find my security? And perhaps most importantly, what is shaping the person I'm becoming? We've already thought about our footwear, but what about the rest of our clothing? I imagine most of us opened our wardrobes this morning and looked at what was there, picking out something that was appropriate for the weather and the occasion. Getting dressed is part of our daily routine, and we make choices every day about what we put on. Throughout his writing, Paul repeatedly uses the language of clothing to describe the Christian life of discipleship, something that we deliberately put on and live out, influencing the choices that we make every day. He isn't talking about the physical clothing that we wear, but telling us that the choices we make communicate something about the person we are becoming. In Romans, Paul tells us that we should clothe ourselves in Christ, to put on our new self, marked by compassion, kindness, humility, so that our lives point towards him. In using a similar image when writing about putting on the full armor of God, Paul is building upon a much bigger picture. Over the last few weeks, we've spoken about what it means to put on that armor, the ways that it changes us from the inside out. Because when we put it on, we are better equipped to stand firm against the other voices, the other influences, and the other pressures that seek to change the way we live. We need to make a conscious choice to put on the armor every single day. Because if we aren't putting on the full armor of God, then something else will inevitably begin to influence us. And it isn't about choosing which part to put on. The pieces of the armor aren't independent of each other. They work together. We're not invited to just pick up the one piece we need for a particular situation. We're told to put on the whole armor of God. When they're all in place, we're more able to stand firm. That doesn't mean there won't be occasions when we feel like we need a particular piece of armor for the situation or even in a particular season of life, but they're all necessary. Because when one part is missing, it can have a domino effect on all the rest. When we lose our grip on truth, other things begin to unravel. We can start to believe the lies that tell us that we're not good enough and not worthy. And then guilt and shame can take hold, and one by one, the dominoes are knocked down. But it's never just about going through a tick list to make sure every part is there. Instead, we need to be self-aware enough to recognize when one part is slipping and consciously returning to it again. God has given us everything we need to stand firm. Our task is to remember what he has given us, choosing to receive it, and choosing to rely upon it every single day. How then might we go about putting on the full armor of God? Where better to begin than by coming before God in prayer? Because the armor isn't something that we can manufacture ourselves. We're not asked to work out what the truth is or achieve our own righteousness or salvation. We can only receive it from God. He's already given it to us. We simply need to accept it and then put it on. And prayer is the place where we consciously do this. In the passage from Philippians that we read today, Paul writes, Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. We're told not to worry about anything, worrying about nothing and praying about everything. I think, and I know in my life, there are times when I've got that the wrong way round, praying about nothing and worrying about everything. We can even be worried about the right way to pray, choosing our words carefully so that they'll be acceptable to God or to others around us. When we're told not to worry, Paul isn't meaning that we should never worry and that there is nothing to worry about. We all know that there is plenty to worry about. Instead, Paul is telling us what we should do with our worry, taking it to God in prayer for him to deal with. This requires us to be completely open and honest with God in prayer. And before we do that, we need to be completely honest with ourselves. Because sometimes the things we wear aren't armor at all. They're masks, hiding who we are instead of truly protecting us. We can be tempted to put on an air of confident competence, a mask that makes it look like we have everything together and all is fine. And there are times when that isn't a bad thing. Times when we want other people to have confidence in us, and we put on a brave face even when our voice is shaking and our knees are knocking. But that's never what God requires of us. He simply invites us to come, to sit in his presence, to let the facade drop and the mask slip away. We're invited to come with our joys and our sorrows, our hopes and our heartaches, our plans and our despair. God doesn't ask for our perfectly polished prayers. He longs to hear our jumbled up sentences, the thoughts that we can't quite finish, and the deepest longings of our hearts, no matter how we string those sentences together. And as we come, God gives us his armor, not necessarily changing the situation or the circumstances, but changing and strengthening us, enabling us to stand firm no matter what we face. As we pray, we're consciously recognizing what God has given us, his truth, his righteousness, his peace, his salvation, and his word. And we're choosing to live in those things rather than the chaos that can rage around us. In order to receive, we first have to listen. There are times when we go to God in prayer with our lists of requests and points that we want to work through to pray about, the things perhaps that we think he wants to hear, and the things that are pressing on our minds. But as we stop and listen, as we wait in silence, other things begin to bubble to the surface. We begin to hear the things that we really need to be praying about and the words that God has for us. We're able to reflect on the parts of the armor that we particularly need in the circumstances that we're facing. Perhaps today we need to hear again the truth of God's word or receive his peace in a situation that is making us anxious. Perhaps we need the faith to trust him when we simply cannot see where he is working. As we listen, we hear the truths that God wants us to know in our hearts. We remember that he is faithful and he is worthy of our trust. We hear what it is that we need to put down so that we might pick up and put on what God has for us. And as we pray, we receive the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Prayer is therefore not simply preparation for putting on the armor. It is in prayer that we actually put the armor on. And as we do so, we're checking for weaknesses and praying for strengthening. This kind of prayer must be an intentional part of our discipleship, not just an activity that we do on our own, but one that we do together. When we do this, we move away from God, please protect me, to God, help us to stand firm together. Sometimes That might be part of our corporate prayers as a church family, when we bring our concerns before God as we did earlier, and when we place God's teaching about the armor of God alongside everything else that he has said about the body of Christ, it becomes clear that this isn't simply about us as individuals. It's about how we live day by day as a community of believers. For we are the body of Christ. We belong to one another. Sometimes we need someone to come alongside us to enable us to stand firm. As we spoke about a few weeks ago, sometimes our own shield of faith becomes too heavy, and we need the prayerful protection of those we journey with. On days when we're afraid, grieving, or worn out and exhausted, we may not have the strength to hold it up ourselves. That's when we need the people of God around us. It's a challenge for us all. It requires us to develop deep relationships where we can honestly walk alongside each other in all of life, openly and honestly sharing our concerns and our worries. This will always require a certain amount of vulnerability to put up our hands and say that the load is too heavy. It requires us to take off the masks that we so often wear. And if we find it difficult to do that when we're alone with God, how much harder can that be when we're required to take it off in front of other people? But where the mask forces us to say, I've got this, I'm fine, I can do this by myself, the armor of God enables and empowers us to say, I can't do this on my own strength, but God has given me what I need to stand firm. It reminds us that we don't have to depend on our own strength. Our strength comes from God. And part of that provision is the people he puts around us. So just as God doesn't ask us to come wearing a mask, perhaps that's what we need to do with one another as a church family. To do that, we need to know each other well enough so that when we're asked how we are, we can answer honestly, trusting that they'll come alongside us and not run away. And when people share themselves with us, we need to recognize the privilege and responsibility that that is. We recognize the vulnerability that it is required for someone to come to us and ask for help, not seeing it as a burden to carry, but as a way that we're able to be a blessing to someone that we're journeying with. And how do we respond when someone shares with us the most vulnerable parts of themselves? Well, if we do nothing else, then we pray. We commit ourselves to bring them before God, not just once, but time and time again. Because there are times when someone is too exhausted, too hurt, or too overwhelmed to know where to begin in bringing themselves before God. And it's our joy and our privilege to carry them there. If our choices define us, then may our first choice always be to pray. Praying in all circumstances, praying that we would put on the full armor of God, and praying for those around us, trusting that God will strengthen us, empower us, and give us his peace so that we will be able to stand firm no matter the situations we're faced with. So in just a few moments, we're going to do just that. I'm not going to pray now. We're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus. I think our children are going to come back. And then we're going to pray together, coming before God honestly and openly.